2 weeks ago, we spoke here about the wedge created between the two children of Avram and its repercussions, namely Yitzchak and Yishmael. And this week's parsha, we actually have a very different wedge. Not between Yitzchak and Yishmael, and what will later be, I suppose, Jews and those of the Muslim faith, but rather between Yaakov and Esav, what eventually we see as Jews and Christians through the stealing of the brachot. But there's a very important difference between the two in terms of the circumstances that led between a wedge that affects us until today. 2 weeks ago, in Parshat Vayera, when we spoke about Akedat Yitzchak and the banishing of Yishmael, there was a reason for it to happen. Sarah told Avram, get rid of him. And comes along God and says, kick him out. He's not welcome, he's not part. But in this week's parsha, when we talk about the wedge between Yaakov and Esav, there's no divine imperative. There's actually a very physical circumstance. And it was when Yitzchak grew older, his eyes stopped being able to see. Because Yitzchak was blind, he loses sight of his son Esav. He doesn't fully get him. And he sees him, of course, as the chosen elder son, deserving of the brachot. I should add that in addition, perhaps only to make matters worse, because of Yitzchak being blind, that also enables Rivka and Yaakov to hatch a plan to steal the brachot, which of course, the result of it creates a wedge and a nemesis between Yaakov and Esav. And it's actually not the only time in the Torah that blindness is the cause for fights and altercations. Truth be told, in a couple weeks, we're going to read in Parshat Vayechi that as Yaakov, and none other than Yaakov, gets older, he also gets blind. And when he gets blind, he also causes some trouble with his children. Ve'enei Yisrael kavdu mizaken. Lo yuchal rot. And he gets older, and he can't see. And then, of course, his grandchildren, Menashe and Ephraim, who he treats like his children, come before him. And all of a sudden, imagine the deathbed scene. Old man, old Yaakov, is trying to give a bracha to his kids. And he starts struggling with his son Yosef as to who belongs on the left and who belongs on the right, because he can't see, perhaps, who's on what side. Or at least so Yosef believes. The reason I bring this up is very simple. Here in the state of Israel, and I can only imagine around the world the numbers are much higher, we have 20,000 plus blind people in the state of Israel. And I just wonder, how many of them have been in Yitzchak's situation? How many of them have been taken advantage of physically, financially? How many of them have been tricked? How many of them have signed documents they didn't know what was written on them? Or even if not Yitzchak, how many people who are blind have been like Yaakov, have been led to uncomfortable disagreements, fights, awkward situations, tension between family and relatives on a daily basis? The question I think that begs from the Torah giving us these descriptions and pointing to blindness is, what's our degree and level of responsibility to the world around us and specifically to people who are blind? And the truth is, there's another pasuk, and it's not a story, it's a mitzvah. One of the 613 mitzvot, when read literally, pasuk in Vayikra, pasuk yitet, perak yitet, ulifnei iver lo titein mitzvot. What does it mean? Literally, don't place a stumbling block in front of the blind. Can you imagine the scene? It's one of these TV shows where it's all about the laughs, and you know, you wait for a blind person to pass, you throw a banana peel or anything that slips out into the person's way, he falls, apparently you think it's funny, you send it to America's Funniest Home Videos, and I really hope you lose. But that's perhaps the most literal reading of Lefnei Yiver Lo Titein Mitzvot. The truth is, it's a much more expansive mitzvah. How do we create a society where we ensure that stumbling blocks are not placed in front of the blind? How do we create a Jewish society, an Israeli state, where the blind don't get taken advantage of? An example. There's a wonderful TV show in Israel called Yatzat Tzadik. Literally, who comes out righteous? And they have different scenes and different episodes where they put people into some moral conundrum, and they want to see who does the right thing. It could be all sorts of things. One of them is you have a scene in a store. And in the store, there's a blind person, again, an actor, who comes and who says, please give me this, this, and this. The smallest bill I have is a 200 shekel bill or a 100 shekel bill. Please give me change. And very carefully, the merchant comes, okay, this is how much I gave you, this is how much I owe you. Here is your money. And instead of giving him a 50 or a 100 and change, you understand he gives him a 20. Of course, he tells him, this is 100, this is 150, and here's your change. And of course, he's given him two 20 shekel bills. The question is, how do the people online going to react? And the truth is, the TV show wasn't just brought up out of nowhere, but last year in the Knesset, they passed a bill, I believe called Chok, Lefneiver, and what that bill was is that from now on in the future, which I do not know exactly when that will begin, but at some point this year or next year, you will see differences in the bills of Shkalim that you probably have, or should have, or may have, or want to have in your pocket. And that is the size, the texture, and certain marking points on the bills of the shkalim will be changed so that a blind person can tell when he's getting ripped off and when he's not, and what each coin stands for. And even though in the beginning people were complaining, but wait, we have to change our wallets, now some of the bills will be too big, too small, as perhaps they have in other countries. But the truth is, that is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Lefnei Iver, Lo Titein Machshol, in its most literal fashion. The question I just want to end with is, how many of our, just think back for a second, of your, every Jewish institution, Jewish building you've been into, how many of them are safe and accessible to someone who's blind? How many restaurants that you frequent on a daily, weekly basis have a Braille menu? How many shuls and yeshivot have a Braille sidur or a Braille chumash? And what statement are we making when it's not the case? All of us this year, and probably at some point in our lives, have been in situations where we feel like an outsider. Right? We come to Israel, we're in a strange yeshiva on day one and day two, and we feel we don't know anybody. We walk into Israel, and we feel we're not Israeli, we don't fit in. We walk into Mei Sharim, perhaps, and we feel we're not Haredi, we don't fit in. Imagine how a blind person who literally can't see his way around, how he feels or she feels on a daily basis, and what our responsibility is. My step-grandfather is blind. He sits in his house most of the day, on occasion, allows for someone to take him out very carefully. Because the world that we live in is a very, very difficult world for someone who's blind. My hope is that in the future, as many of you become active in communities and your hometowns, that my grandfather would have been able to get around a little bit easier. Have a good day.